Welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers, a true crime podcast. We are your hosts, Hannah Elizabeth
and Kate Mitchell. This is a place where you can find true crime tales, morbid mysteries and all things spooky.
We are two Scousers with a true crime and red wine passion. Expect wine reviews, Scouse banter and much more.
Our podcast does include graphic content and explicit language. Discretion is advised.
So grab a belly, it's about to get heavy.
I'm Hannah Elizabeth.
And I'm Kate Mitchell.
And welcome to Don't Talk to Strangers. Oh my god, we smashed it.
Perfection.
Finally.
Yes.
Back into the swing of things.
We didn't rehearse it at all.
Ooh.
Hope you're all well. Welcome to episode 11.
How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Oh my god, so I'm hungover. I had a little...
Why? What did you do last night, Hannah?
Oh, I had a little Valentine's meal cooked for me by my one. Because obviously I'm not going to see him on Monday. So you know what, Kate? He actually cooked me this meal. And I'm not just saying it. It was like restaurant standard. It was one of the best meals I've ever had.
Fabulous.
It was unreal. He did me a steak in like truffle oil.
See, I love
insane.
Truffle. It's weird that people don't like it. It's like a love-hate thing, truffle, isn't
yeah.
it? Like when we make lunch, she said it smells like bad breath.
Restaurant,
she'll go, who's got truffle? And like, can smell it. Like
that is a haul. No, do you know what? I think you can get it too much of it.
Yeah.
It's nice, a nice little balance. And we have mac and cheese, triple cooked chips. Mushrooms, onions, tomato. Oh my god, my mouth's watering.
I know, same, I'm starving. I'm not eating today.
So,
well, I am, but
are you hungover?
No. Well, to be fair, I had a little Galentine's Day with the girls.
Oh.
So I had a bottle of red, which was like over the space of a night. So like I wasn't like a show. Do you know what I mean?
It was I was a show.
And it was like a lot of the girls were in work and stuff. So today. So then we.
And you had dick cookies.
We had dick cookies, yeah. Shannon made them.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
We actually love them.
The girls wore pink hoodies, made things and brought like cupcakes and cookies and I turned up in a black hoodie
nothing
and a bottle of red and was like, oh, hun, didn't get the memo. But it was a fab night and we got like a Chinese and it was just a fab.
Oh,
and
nice.
Tomorrow, which is Sunday, but it'll be today for you. So today... I'm cooking
Valentine's.
Well, no, so Sunday. This is going to come out on Sunday.
Yeah.
So on the Sunday that this comes out, I'm doing another Galentine's with the other mates.
Yeah.
I'm cooking them a roast in ours. And I've made them a cheesecake.
Gorgy.
But yeah. And then I'll be spooning the dog and fry it on Monday.
Hun, I know.
But
I'm so needy today. I need a cuddle.
Oh, we'll spoon after.
Yeah. You're going to have to give me a hug.
Well, I know we're hungover, but we're still on the line.
Yeah,
so
we've still got to have a glass of red. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It does, you know, hair of the dog and all that. I get bad anxiety, you know. Like, I got a bit of anxiety today. And I didn't even do nothing wrong, do you know what I mean? When I was pissed, but...
Oh, yeah.
I hate it, and it does take the edge off when you have a drink, nothing else works. So today...
We're just, you know, promoting, like, drinking consent.
Yeah, no, honestly, if you've got a bad hangover, the only way out of it is another one. So, I've got an Aldi wine today,
okay.
Not the Asda, the Aldi.
Okay,
this was $5.99.
Bargain.
And it's called... It's called Toro Loco Reserva.
Oh, it's a reserve wine? Whoa.
Toro a reserva. What's a reserve wine?
Well, from the one I like, that Campo Viejo.
Yeah.
The reserve is like the more expensive one.
Oh, shut up.
It's £18 a bottle or something, but this is £5.99, so maybe that doesn't mean anything, and I've got it wrong. But
And you can get a case of it from Aldi for 30 something quid.
Oh, that's good.
Anyway.
I think it's tasty. It's tasty, like.
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it? It says...
Going down well.
Goes good with duck breast. Very random.
That's specific.
I know. Medium to full-bodied red with fruity flavours. It's plum and dark cherry, but not that anyone really gives a fuck.
I was going to say, every week it's always fucking plums and cherries, and we're like, yeah, hon, I know what you mean.
Plum. Yeah, all I can taste is red wine.
Yeah. Well,
it's from Spain. And Yeah, it's
bad. Well, I normally like Spanish wines. Like, I like Rioja. That's, like, one of my favourites.
Yeah.
So I think I quite like this, yeah.
I do. It's nice.
Delish. But, to be honest, I don't think there's many more business to attend to. And
sorry, I keep yawning. It's because I'm hungover.
That's fine. You yawn away. Well, to be honest, I think you might have to just sit there.
Sit there
and just pay attention because I've made a bit of a boo-boo. Well, no, I haven't.
A boo-boo?
Like a mistake, but I haven't. In hindsight, this probably should have been a two-part case. Because it's a big case and once I start the research, it just kept going on and on and on. And I've got 15 pages of notes.
That is such a haul, 15.
We're not on average. What do we normally have? Well, you use the notes, so we don't... I normally have like 5 or 6 pages of notes, so...
I can't normally even
read. If it does go on for too long, I think what we might do is just cut it. And then we'll carry on recording and just put it
into two parts.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a good idea.
Because I was saying to Hannah, like, I wish I would have done it, like, let's research part one. But because I just got away with myself, so...
So it's a big, long episode.
Potentially, like, if this goes past, like, an hour and a half, we'll just stop it. And I'll put the next part out the next day.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, hope that makes sense to you guys. But, yeah, like I say...
But don't think I'm yawning because I'm bored. I'm literally shattered.
No, that's fine. That is fine. It was actually last week's case that you did, Hannah.
Yeah.
That inspired me for this case.
Shut up.
Because, I mean, it's something that you may not have even noticed.
Have I heard of it?
I don't know. I think you may have when you get into it. Or you will have seen the pictures from it.
Because I will
have showed you them, yeah. But we'll go into that in a second. But the case that you said, obviously the two boys were responsible for the murder, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were obsessed. And they got obsessed with the school shooting.
Ah.
And I went, oh, was it Columbine? And you were like, oh, I'm not too sure which one it was. But that sparked the memory, and I thought I'll cover it, so I am covering the Columbine Massacre.
Oh, amazing! Okay, I don't know. I don't really know about it.
Oh, well, you'll love this. This is a treat.
Will I?
No, I say
this
it's a treat.
This is a treat.
I mean, it's good for, like,
people are being
it's
sick
good
bitches.
New information for you, but okay. It's heavy. And like I say, I think I may have done this research just slightly a bit wrong. I don't want to bore you, but I also want to give you all the information that's relevant, because a lot happens, do you know what I mean? But... we'll just see how it goes.
I'm looking forward to a nice bedtime story.
We'll see how it goes. Like I say, it may just end at the end. It may end, prematurely, and then the second half comes out if it's too long.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've talked for 7 minutes now, so...
Are we joking? We need to shut up. Let's go. 15 fucking pages, let's go.
No, so, Columbine Massacre. So I actually learned about this case, actually, I want to say... literally over 15 years ago.
Really?
Which is dead weird because when I was a goth, back in the goth days...
I love goth.
There was a band called Flyleaf that me, Shannon and Carly, my two mates, loved.
Yeah.
And there was a song called Cassie. And for some reason, I was Googling it and it came up that this song, Cassie, was written about a girl who was killed at Columbine. So I was like, what's Columbine? So then I started looking into it. The stories have been debunked. I'm not going to even talk.
What's debunked?
Like, debunked means like... they haven't been proven to be correct.
Debunked.
It's like a rumour has been... So there's a rumour going around and someone tells you, it's fake. Debunked. Or, like, it's not the truth.
Yeah.
So, basically, this song came out and it was about a rumour that hasn't been fully confirmed.
Got you.
Like, a girl called Cassie did get killed, but what this song's about, we don't know. But anyway, that's not what this is about. But this... I just want to let you know how long I've known about it. And, like, there's stuff on YouTube. There's a documentary called Bowling for Columbine, which talks about, like, the drug gun laws in the USA and stuff like that, and it's amazing. So, yeah, Bowling for Columbine and YouTube, just anything about Columbine, there's loads in there.
Columbine?
Which is the school.
Can I want me right there?
Can, yeah, of course you can. Talk out, honey. So I'm going to start by introducing the two boys who are responsible, and then we're going to run through the shootings, but it is kind of, like, minute by minute what's going on. And that's why I'm worried that you'll be like... because it is literally minute by minute. But anyway,
I'll just sip me wine.
Yeah, sip your wine. You sit back, relax, everyone. I love it when every time she picks a wine glass up because she's like that. Right. So yeah, fasten your seatbelts.
Oh, grab a bevy.
It's about to get heavy. God,
got mine. Go on.
So. Also, I've still got a croaky voice, so I might need to drink every now and then, but just, you know, I've got to have a little
drink
sip.
Drink away.
So first up is Eric.
Eric, pure little mermaid.
What?
Little mermaid.
Oh, wait, why did you get, where did you get, anyway.
Eric was the fella, fella.
You jumped to the little mermaid.
Yeah, like, who else do you know called Eric? Like, oh, actually, what the fuck, Rachel's dad's called Eric?
Yeah, Eric Clapton, there's lots of Erics in the world.
Nah, not really.
Well, okay, anyway, we got like, this 9 minutes in, come on, trust me. I've got to keep the people entertained, Tam.
Okay. So,
Eric David Harris was born on the 9th of April 1981 in Wichita, Kansas. Harris's parents were both born and raised in Colorado. His mother, Catherine Ann Poole, was a homemaker, and his father, Wayne Harris, was working in the United States Air Force as a transport pilot. So, because of his job, it forced the family to move around the country sporadically.
Mm-hmm.
Over the moving around the country, though, his upbringing was pretty normal. But it's easy to understand how obviously moving around, making friends, and then having to leave the friends and making new friends at mm-hmm. young age and then growing yeah. into a teenager can be hard. So
yeah,
that's obviously noteworthy. On a 1997 English class assignment, Harris wrote about how it was difficult to move from New York, which he was living there at some point, to Colorado. Quote, it was hardest moving from Plattsburgh. I have the best memories there. Harris continued, when I left, I felt alone, lost, even agitated. That Aww. I had spent so much time with friends and now I have to go because of something I can't stop.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, I get that, to be fair.
Yeah.
Harris, in like a tape, you know, obviously people like used to do family tapes and record themselves back in the 80s.
Yeah, they did, didn't you? Yeah. All the time.
He had like a bit of a rant and he blamed his father for moving around the world, around the country, sorry. And forcing Harris to start from the bottom of the ladder. He also noticed how like kids would take fun of his appearance and stuff like that. So there's a lot of at the early age, it's fine, but he's got little bits of like stuff going on. Harris entered Columbine High School in 1995 as a freshman. Columbine had just gone through a major renovation and expansion, and from all accounts, he had many friends. He was left forward and midfield in the Columbine soccer team.
Soccer team.
For his freshman and sophomore year. And according to his teammates, he was a solid soccer player and just enjoyed the sport and was fine.
Was fine.
While Harris... he's going to be called Harris a lot. It's Eric Harris and the other guy. But just so I always like to confirm, because there's lots of names in this and it'll get confusing.
Okay.
Harris was in the 7th grade when he met Dylan.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dylan, Bennett, Klebold. So, throughout this, it'll be Harris and Klebold, the two boys.
Okay, yeah.
He was born on September the 11th, 1981, in Lakewood, Colorado. He was born to Thomas and Sue Klebold. Now, Klebold was diagnosed with the illness when he was born. I'm going to say it wrong, but it's pyloric stenosis. It's a condition that affects the opening between the stomach and the small intestines. And it just causes vomiting from a young age. But his mum was all worried and she said that she had a dark cloud and over when she had this feeling of, like, doom when she had him.
Are you joking? Yeah. And pure devil Damien child.
And she was like, I wonder what it was. But then she put it down to this sickness. But then obviously after what happened, she was like, fucking hell, I don't know what it was.
She's just chatting shit.
But I don't know. But he went to live a normal life. It wasn't anything life-threatening or life-changing anyway.
Imagine that.
No. I had this impeding sense of doom.
When I had the kids, oh my God.
But anyway, he's fine. during his earlier school years, Klebold was similar, played as to Eric Woolhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Played basketball, soccer, t-ball, don't know what that is. Klebold was in Club Scouts with a friend called Brooks Brown. Remember him?
Yeah.
He's been friends with him since the first grade, so lifelong friends, more or less. Brown lived around the corner, and they rode the bus together. So they came like a close knit friendship.
Yeah.
Quite quickly.
Who so them you've got three?
Harris, Klebold, and Brown. All kind of little BFFs. They had another friend as well who was in middle school. He's also.
So how old are they about?
So at the time of this happening, they're 17.
Okay.
But this is just telling you the kind of...
I don't get what all that, like, sophomore and all that means.
Neither do I. I was going to, like, explain it all.
I just know that it's
secondary school.
Yeah, that's all I know.
Let's just go with that.
Okay.
But isn't it good that they have that, like, sophomore and freshman?
Freshman, we're just, yeah.
Like, I'm in year seven. I'm in year nine.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah. Like, if you're a senior, is that, like, I don't know if that means sixth form.
Yeah.
Or,
oh, like, I love freshman that. And a freshman.
Is that, like, year seven?
Yeah, I reckon it must be.
Maybe.
It's got to be, hasn't
junior,
it?
Yeah, then a freshman. I don't know. But, again, we can't digress.
Okay.
Also, Harris and Klebold, the two boys, work together as cooks in Blackjack Pizza, which is, like, a mile south from Columbine High School. Harris was promoted to shift leader, and his group of friends were interested in computers, bowling class, sorry, they had a bowling club where they went bowling.
What the expression on your face, you were like...
Because I realised the server was wrong. Some described Harris as charismatic, others described him as nice, likeable. However, Harris has often bragged about his ability to deceive others.
Where we go,
stating
sneaky.
In a tape that he could make anyone believe anything. Anything. By his junior year, Harris was known to... was, like, known to kind of get angry really, really quickly, have, like, a hot temper.
Yeah.
And he threatened people with bombs. Like, he'd go, I'll bomb you. But, you know, it's just, like...
Oh, shut up, mate.
What do you believe? You know, he's just a little kid, essentially. But he's
I'll
a young
bomb
boy.
You.
Yeah, and I'll bomb you. Classmates also related that Harris was fascinated by war and wrote out violent fantasies about killing people he didn't like.
What?
Now, on the other way... So, the other boy, Klebold, was a bit opposite. So he was, I mean, they were equally as fucked, but he was known by his peers and his friends as adults as being painfully shy.
Oh, yeah.
So Klebold would often be fidgety when someone new talked to him. He'd really open up. He was exceptionally nervous in front of the opposite sex. In front of girls, he just went to pieces. He avoided confrontation with girls altogether. And in the last years of his life, you know, many noted that, like, in Klebold's behaviour, he then started to pick up Harris's things of being, like, shorter temper. Do you know what I mean?
So, like, all yeah, it was, like, mirroring
he
him.
He was, like, yeah. And he had, like, outbursts of anger and stuff like that. So, we've got a lot of information on them both, but a lot of their friendship is actually unknown because I'm not going to give it away, but they both died. So,
oh, yeah, okay.
It's not much of a, like, spoiler alert, but it's quite known that they died. So there's not much to know because obviously they couldn't be questioned. So they had tapes there where they record themselves. So like your
case. So I was just gonna say like my did that yeah.
Yeah. So like your case, they like to record themselves and doing various different things. Sometimes it was having conversations, sometimes it'd be them firing guns, which we'll go on to. Now where over time, they became increasingly close, obviously, from when they met in middle school.
What about the other fella now?
He was there, but these two were just, like...
Yeah, so that's what Brown. It was like with the
yeah,
other one,
yeah.
Yeah,
it was our third boy, but you'll figure out there's more things about Brooks Brown.
Okay.
Like I say, they got obsessed with this video game called Doom, and they connected over a private server. They connected their, like, personal computers. Don't know how to do that, but it's something, like, technical...
Yeah.
They'd go bowling, like I say, the carpool, play video games. And by their junior year in high school, the boys were described as inseparable.
Yeah, BFF.
BFF. Now, it was noted in school that, like, they always just sat alone together. Like, they'd have other mates in, like, a circle, but those two would just be together. So
yeah.
It's very similar, like, as we said, to what happened to in the last case. If you haven't listen to episode 10.
Yeah.
There's a real-life screen murder.
Ooh.
A rumour did actually start that Harris and Klebold were gay.
Oh,
and
romantically sure.
involved due to them being together all the time. But it wasn't known if they knew the rumour or not.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know I mean? So this is not, like, a cause, but it's just interesting.
Yeah.
It was believed that Harris was more emotionally dependent on Klebold, who was, like... Because he had, like, a bit more about him and would have, like, friendships, like, bounce off. So it's like he used them.
Yeah, yeah.
In his journals, Klebold wrote how he felt like he was not accepted or loved by anyone. Due to these feelings, Klebold possibly sought validation from Harris. So what I've said, I probably confused it, but they just fed off each other.
Yeah.
One was emotionally, like, needy. One had that kind of vulnerability that needed
attention.
He was
attention. A bit shy,
so, yeah. So they bounce off each other, but also it's quite a dangerous mix because they like desperately need each other for that reason, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's hard
yeah.
to explain, but it's just a fucked up combination, basically, which you'll find. They had a bit of legal trouble, but nothing too dramatic. They broke into a car and stole some like electronic equipment. Police caught them. They were managed to... The police officers weren't too like concerned. They thought, oh, these are nice boys. They just made a bit of a mistake.
Yeah,
yeah. You don't have to have a record as long as you do some like... what was it that they wanted to do like a divisionary program and community service and psychiatric treatment. So they basically said, you're not going to get a record if you do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Eric also wrote a letter of apology to the person who did it to.
Mm-hmm.
And they were deemed to be, like, fine. However, in a diary entry, Eric, who wrote the letter of apology, wrote, isn't America supposed to be the land of the free? How come, if I'm free, I can't deprive some fucking dumb shit from his possessions if he leaves them sitting in the front seat of his fucking van in plain sight in the middle of the fucking day on a fucking Friday fucking night?
Oh, fucking...
He likes a bit of fucking...
He does.
And then he put, natural selection, fucker should be shot.
What?
So you can see, it's a mixture of, like, it really is just young boys doing young boy things, video games, being together, like, recording themselves, but then having this anger that's the feeding off of each other.
Yeah, of course.
Emotionally, it's just getting into a really bad, like...
Yeah.
It can be fine if you're normal, but then obviously they're in, like, a perfect combination where... It's not perfect, it's the worst combination, but what I mean, it's the perfect combination for disaster.
Yeah, that's
essentially.
It.
The boys kept journals. So, the journals of both Harris and Klebold provided insight into both their planning of this Judgment Day that they always spoke about.
Judgment Day.
And it explains their, like, psychological makeup at the time. But what they're talking about, it's kind of explaining what they were going through in the head. So early in 1998, Harris stopped posting online and kept a notebook that he titled The Book of God, mostly dedicated to his homicidal fantasies and philosophy.
Yeah.
Klebold had actually been keeping his own diary too, but it was called Existences, a Virtual Book. Since the previous spring, so the differences between the two were quite striking.
Yeah,
one
yeah.
was quite philosophical, and one was like, fuck everyone, I want to, like, I'm God. Do you know what I mean?
Ew,
Klebold, who has the one that is, like, a bit more poetic, writes about, like, God, self-medicating with alcohol, cutting himself, love. He has, like, lots of love hearts in his book, so he's the emotional,
right,
vulnerable,
yeah,
shy.
He's the shy.
Yeah, and then the other one, like I say, Harris, is all about, like, anger and hate and war, and he's saying everyone's zombies, and he was like, people are so unaware of, like, what's going on in the world and what I can do to the world, and ignorance is bliss.
They're all asleep and all
that. Yeah, and it's just like, it's just something that you can, it's just a good insight into both of them, like, as I say.
What's he so fuming about?
Just life, he's just an angry little boy.
Yeah.
Now, for a year before the shooting, Harris dedicated himself to building explosives. He got into building explosives, which to me, like, you've just pulled a face as if to be like, how?
How?
But it's not like what me. You can build an explosive quite easily with, like, the mixture of, like, three ingredients. You mix, like, chemical compounds together,
shake
it together, it'll pop. That's an explosive.
Yeah.
It's obviously not to the level that.
Like a bomb.
Of. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he actually, so he used to create pipe bombs and what he called crickets made from CO2 canisters. So a CO2 canister is just a canister of air.
Yeah.
And all you need to do is do a few things to then set it up and it'll blow up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, it's still explosive though, it's still bombed, it's still dangerous.
But I feel like that is a boys thing. I know that might be a bit mad, but that is a boys kind of thing, isn't it?
In a way, yeah, but not to this. You don't make a pipe bomb. Like,
I feel like that reminds me of, like, Sid off Toy Story a bit.
Yeah, but I've got two big, big, like, older brothers, and they were typical older brothers to me, and I wanted to climb trees with them.
Yeah.
Did they set up on fire? I don't know, maybe, but they didn't make bombs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a very different level of like being a boy, I think. Okay. Like rough and ready. You don't really make explosive that I'm aware.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's hope Reggie fucking doesn't make it. When he starts going, Mum, can you get me some fucking pipes? Or a pipe bomb. That's a real big flag, okay. Honey. Red flag, okay? He looked into trying to make napalm, which is like a massive, it's like dynamite. Like napalm is like a very, very explosive ingredient. He tried to recruit his friend Chris Morris, but like played it off as a joke when he declined. Harris also started to take notes about student movements, the number of exits at school. Meanwhile, he also researched the Brady Bill and various loopholes within the gun laws in the USA.
Shut up.
Now, finally, on November 22nd, 1998, he joined Klebold in convincing an 18-year-old mutual friend to buy two shotguns and a high-caliber rifle for them to get, him to get them for him because he was 18, sorry. They also bought a semi-automatic pistol from another friend behind a pizza shop.
Oh, behind a pizza shop.
Now, there was hiccups within that plan as well because he asked the shop to buy, he asked to order more ammo from this gun shop.
Yeah.
He rang him, but his dad answered the phone. And he was like, your ammo that you've ordered is not in stock. You know, that kind of thing. So yeah, yeah. There was hiccups along the way, but essentially they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
So now's the heavy bit. So this is where you need to concentrate.
I'm concentrating.
And I need to concentrate so I don't lose what I'm up to, so let's go.
Okay.
On the morning of Tuesday, April 20th, 1999, Columbine High School senior Brooks Brown noted something strange. His on-and-off-again friend Eric Harris had been missing from morning class. Even stranger, Harris, who was a straight-A student, had missed their philosophy exam. Okay. Philosophy was one of their favourite subjects.
Yeah.
Now, it's just before lunch period, so it's like 10 past 11 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Brown walks outside towards the designated smoking area for a ciggy. On the way there, he bumps into Harris, who's wearing a trench coat, and he's pulling a bulky duffel bag from his car, but he's parked it way where he's meant to park it. Like, they've got like a senior and a junior's parking lot.
Yeah.
It's a very big school. He's like, why are you parked there and what are you doing? Like, he's got a trench coat on and he's bringing out a big duffel bag.
I'm scared.
As Brown begins to confront him, Harris interrupts him and said, wait, it doesn't matter anymore, Brooks. I like you now. Get out of here. Go home. So Brown was confused, but because the relationship that they had, he was like the third friend, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
They started to like play pranks on him, vandalise his car. His mum and dad got involved and wants to press charge on the boys. They had like quite a bad, like tumultuous relationship.
Yeah.
So he kind of thought, what is going on here? Like, shut up, Eric. Like, they're back mates again.
But yeah.
They're a bit, you know what I mean? Like, the pranks they played on him. Yeah. He's just a bit like, oh, what are you on about? So he's just like, Sal, whatever. He shook his head, walked away from campus, and he was weighing up whether he should skip next period. So he was like, I'm off campus now. Shall I skip it or shall I come back?
Yeah.
When he was a block away, the noises started.
Shut up.
At first, he thought they were fireworks and that maybe Harris was pulling a prank. But then the sound became faster, which turned out to ultimately be the unmistakable sound of gunfire. Now, Brown started running and knocking on doors of the houses around him to get a telephone. He telephoned to find a phone. Now, within the hour, so this started now within 1 hour, 18-year-old Harris and 17-year-old partner Dylan Klebold, and obviously who was Brown's friend since first grade, they were dead. In that time, they had murdered 12 students and one teacher in what was the deadliest school shooting in American history.
That is 12 and the teacher.
No. Okay, so let's begin.
Feel like, sorry, in America that does happen. There's been a few, isn't it?
But it's still 12. It's like, it happens like a well more. I feel like...
Why doesn't it happen here and it happens there?
Because you can't get guns here.
Oh.
Honestly, you need to watch Bowling for Columbine. Your head will actually fall off. They do like tests on like how easy it is to just go in and buy a gun and buy bullets.
What's that, a documentary?
Yeah, documentary. I don't know if it's on Netflix, but you'll love
it. Is it?
It might be.
Bowling.
Bowling for Columbine. We went to bowl. They had a bowling club, didn't they? So it's bowling for Columbine.
And it's all about this.
It's not just about the story. It's all about like what it leads to. Like, the, how did this happen? And the gun laws around America. But it's sick. Please watch. Now, between 11:14 a.m. and 11:22 a.m., Harris and Klebold leave their cars and walk into the school cafeteria. By the way, I've got this information from various sources. I've not changed it to the English word, so I'm going to say parking lot and cafeteria. I can't be asked to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Left their cars and walked into the school cafeteria carrying two large duffel bags containing enough explosive power to kill the majority of the students who would soon be arriving for lunch. The gunmen placed the bags on the floor beside two lunch tables and walked back out. The bags then blended in with the 400 other backpacks and bags scattered throughout the cafeteria. The duffel bag concealed 20-pound propane bombs timed to explode at 11:17 a.m.
Oh my God, so they were bombs?
Now, this is what Eric Harris had earlier determined, that 11:17 was the exact time that the high school cafeteria would be the busiest.
Okay.
Packed with maximum capacity of students, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, the school custodian, which these are like faculty members, the staff, the school custodian goes into the video room at this time to change over the surveillance tapes. It's just the timing of the day. They run out, they put new tapes in. This is obviously when things were recorded on VHS tapes.
Yeah.
So after placing the two £20 propane bombs in the cafeteria, Harris and Klebold go back out to the student park and lots to sit in their retrospective cars to wait for the bombs to explode. So their plan was sit in the cars, wait for them to explode. That'll kill most people in there. We'll wait in the cars because anyone who tries to run out, we'll jump and get them, we'll stab them and we'll kill them.
What?
They also had bombs and timers with them in their own cars that were going to be set off when ambulance arrived. So they thought it all through. They were like, we'll set these bombs off. It'll kill loads of people.
No.
When they run out, we'll run out and start stabbing and shooting. Then when the ambulance comes to try and save everyone, the car
That is proper, like...
No.
Premeditated. And I mean, even about the...
like, highest level ever.
Ambulance, that's so mad how they've thought of that.
Now... Jefferson County Dispatch Centre received its first 911 call, and this is at 19 minutes past 11.
Yeah.
From a citizen reporting an explosion in a field nearby the school. Okay. It wasn't a big explosion, but it caused enough smoke and fire to raise awareness for someone who driving past to ring the police. This was actually a diversion, so that the police would go to this explosion. And not go to the school. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the field a little way away from it, it was meant to be a massive explosion, which was meant to take all the police over there. It didn't really go off very well, but it still caught fire. So the police are aware of a bomb going off and a fire. So they're all heading the wrong direction.
Over there. Oh my God.
Now, several witnesses, this back in the school now, okay? Several witnesses identify Harris and Klebold standing together on the top west exterior steps outside the school.
Yeah.
Both wearing black trench coats and carrying a backpack and a duffel bag. Now, that location is the highest point on campus and it allows them, like, an elevated vantage point, you know, of the schools, like, west side, the parking lot.
Yeah.
The two, like, there's a senior parking lot, there's a junior parking lot, there's the cafeteria exits, the entrance.
They can see it, like, everywhere.
So they're at the highest point where, whenever it starts kicking off, they'll see everyone where they're going.
Oh, fuck.
Now, at about 11:19 a.m, a witness hears one of the suspects say, go, go. Klebold and Harris then open from their coats two shotguns and pull them off. Let me start that again. Hear the suspect say, go, go, and Klebold and Harris then pull their shotguns out of their bags.
Yeah.
They've already got 9mm semi-automatic weapons hidden under their coats, but from their position at the top of the steps, they began shooting at students in that area.
Had the bomb gone off then?
Wait. The first gunshots fired towards the west doors killed Rachel Scott and injured Richard Castaldo. Students in Columbine, who were obviously students at Columbine High School, Rachel and Richard had been sitting on the grass eating their lunch outside the school's west upper entrance near the north side of the library, okay?
Yeah.
Students Daniel Roberer, Sean Graves and Lance Kirkland have just come outside of a side door from the school cafeteria to the smoker's pit where you can smoke. And they're all hit by gunfire, all three fall to the ground. Five students sitting on the grass on the west side of the stairs are shot as they began to run. Michael Johnson suffered gunshot wounds but is able to reach the other athletic storage shed, the outdoor athletic storage shed, where he takes cover with other students.
Oh my God.
Mark Taylor suffers a debilitating gunshot wound and falls to the ground, unable to flee with the others. Klebold goes back down the stairs to the area outside the cafeteria and shoots Daniel Roper again at close range, killing him instantly. He also shoots Lance Kirkland again, this time at close range, but luckily Lance survives. So they're not just shooting people far away, now going back up to them. And
oh my God, honestly, this is mad.
This makes me have like a horrible feeling in my stomach. Yeah. Like when I watch the things on it, like it's so interesting, I'm like, wow. But all day I felt funny, it's weird.
Yeah, like, it's so horrible.
You might not now, but when you watch it, because there's CCTV, you will be like, what the fucking fuck?
There's CCTV on the
not of like, you know, see her, like all that, but there's just one where they walk past the cafeteria and he's just got a gun just walking and it's like...
Is it on that one you said?
Yeah, they're on both. I'll post them as well, like, there's lots of them.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Honestly, Bowling for Columbine, it's horrific. Klebold perfectly... Klebold briefly enters the side entrance to the... I didn't work on perfectly well. Klebold briefly enters the side entrance to the cafeteria and stands just inside the doorway, perhaps to discover why the propane bomb hasn't gone off.
Yeah.
So the plan's a bit out of whack here. He then goes back outside and joins Harris at the top of the stairs. So he's gone in, looked, it's not gone off, and he's come back. Harris then shoots down the stairs, hitting Anne-Marie Hulk-Hater. Anne-Marie is shot multiple times as she stands, as she tries to run for cover in the cafeteria. Witnesses hear one of the gunmen shout, quote, "This is what we always wanted to do. This is awesome." Obviously not in my mundane, "This is awesome."
This is fucking awesome.
From the onset, both suspects have seen lighting and throwing explosive devices onto the roof, into the parking lot and towards the grassy hillside. So they've their bags full with pipe bombs.
What
so
the fuck?
They're walking around lighting them, throwing them. But they're not very good at making bombs, by the way.
No.
A 911 call from Columbine High School this time has a student report a girl injured in the south lower parking lot of the high school. I think she's paralysed, the caller tells dispatch at this point. So Deputy Magger, or McGaw, on his way to the explosion in the field, is advised of what's going on in Columbine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that diversion's working because everyone's on the way there. They're now getting 911 calls from the school. 1999, cell phones were a thing, but not everyone.
Cell phones,
mobiles were a thing. I'm very American today.
I know.
But not everyone had one.
Yeah.
So obviously that's why.
So where were all the teachers? Are they like?
They're all there. Like when I'll say like faculty and custodial staff, their school.
Yeah.
Teachers.
But are they starting to like go full?
The thing is, they're like, it's not like we went to St. Julie's. If someone was getting shot in one room or like one part of the school, everyone would be onto it, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
This is a massive school. Thousands and thousands of students. So like it's happening in one area. People are like that. Oh, what's that noise?
So it's like slowly getting around.
There's no social media. No one's got, like I say, no one's got cell phones. So like if one gunshot went off at St. Julie's, within 5 minutes the police would be there because someone would have rang them.
Yeah.
Or a teacher would have pressed some sort of alarm or I don't know. Whereas this is 1999. And it's in a massive, massive, massive school.
Yeah.
So can you see it's taken... Well, we're still only on 11:23.
Yeah.
It starts at 11:10.
Yeah, this is...
I've kept a timeline of everything in case you ask, but 11:23. So it's been 13 minutes.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And already, what, about 4 or 5, 6 people have been shot. Some have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
So, Deputy McGaw's on his way to the explosion field, but he's then been advised that obviously a female down in the parking lot of Columbine High School. Another deputy called Deputy Gardner hears the same call So he'd start heading his way. He like put his lights on and start put his siren on and start making his way to school.
This
is all happening on their radio. So other police men are going, there's loads of police that get involved. I'm going to say all the names, but you don't need to necessarily remember them, but you've got to understand the situation. Like, oh my God, there's a girl down at Columbine High School. Oh, I'm only around the corner. One of them's given a parking ticket, leaves the scene. You know what I mean?
So they're all racing to get there.
Several of the school's custodial staff and faculty, including teacher William, in brackets, Dave Sanders, so he must get called Dave, are attempting to find out what's happening outside the school cafeteria.
Yeah.
Realising there's danger, Sanders and the school custodian, another school custodian, John Curtis, and Jake Galantine. Oh, isn't that weird? Galantine?
Galantine.
Galatine. Anyway.
Same.
Enter the cafeteria and direct students to get down. Students began to hide under the tables, but there's a bomb there. Deputy Paul Smoker, he's a motorcycle patrolman for the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, is writing a speeding ticket, like I say, on West Bells Avenue, just west of Peter Street, when he hears the dispatch report that a female's down at school. So he stops and starts heading his way there. Now, teacher Patricia, also known as Patty, is working as a hall monitor when she hears a commotion outside the west entrance of the school. She looks outside, she sees two male students with what she thinks are toy guns and assumes that the school video production is being taped.
No.
She's on her way.
Can you imagine?
No. Sorry, I need to straighten my legs. What? Sorry, babe. Now, she's on her way outside to tell the boys to knock it off when one of the gunmen fire into the entrance that she's walking out of.
Oh, my God.
Glass metal fragments spray into the hallway and Nielsen suffers abrasions to her shoulder, forearm and knee. But she's not, like, gravely injured. It's just minor at this point.
God, I'd just throw myself on the floor and pretend I was dead.
You're not allowed to come back and double check.
Yeah.
Right next to Nielsen is a student called Brian Anderson. Brian's being told by a teacher to get out of the school because of the explosion and commotion, but not realising where the danger is. He's run out of the exit, which is exactly where they're shooting at. And he's caught being in between, like, the exterior and the interior doors. So, you know, there's, like, doors and then there's doors again.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, well, not in our school, but there's, like, door and then door.
Yeah.
He's stuck in between that and they're shooting in there. So there's just glass and everything going around.
Oh, fuck.
He suffers wounds to his chest from the flying glass. Despite their injuries, Patty and Brian are able to flee into the school library.
Yeah.
While Harris and Klebold are distracted by the arrival of Deputy Gardner. So one of the deputies, he's now there.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Gardner has just pulled up to the Lower South parking lot of the school with his lights on, his patrol car flashing away with the siren sounding.
Yeah.
As Gardner steps out of his patrol car, Eric Harris turns his attention from shooting into the doors to him. Gardner, who is particularly visible because he's got like a bright yellow shirt, which is part of the uniform.
Yeah.
Because he's an officer, is now the target. Harris fires about 10 shots at the deputy with his rifle before his weapon then jams. Gardner fires 4 shots back at Harris.
Yeah.
Harris spins all of a sudden to his right and Gardner's like, I've hit him. You know, like when you get shot and you're like, and like, you spin. Well, no, not that you know.
Not that I know, but
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
seconds later, though, Harris began shooting again. So it's whether he just tried to dodge or whatever, we don't know.
Yeah.
Although Gardner's patrol car is not hit by the bullets, two vehicles that he's parked by are being hit. Harris then turned to enter the school through the west door. So he's shooting in the stairway. Sorry, he's shooting in the doorway where the kids are. Then turned to the police officer, starts shooting towards him. And now he goes back into the school through the west doors. So, more students are realising there's
what's going on,
and it's more serious than a prank. You've got to remember, all this noise, everyone's thinking, oh, someone's lit those, like, one of those firecracker things. A mass of students is seen on the school surveillance videotape trying to escape up the stairs from the cafeteria to the second level. Several students record Sanders directing them to safety by telling them to go down the hallway to the east side. Now, Jefferson County Sheriff's Office dispatched advisors that there are possible shots fired at Columbine High School. Attention, all South units, possible shots fired at Columbine High School, one female confirmed down.
Yeah.
So this is still ongoing. It's attracting more police officers. Patty Nielsen, the teacher who got sprayed with all the glass and the metal, is hiding on the front counter in the school library and calls 911 to report that shots are being fired now inside the library.
Yeah.
So Littleton, which is their local area, fire department dispatches a fire engine to the, you know, like the one that's on the field.
Yeah,
yeah. Still going to the fucking field. But obviously they have to do that.
Check it, yeah.
Now, after exchanging gunfire, Gardner, the one that we've just been talking about, calls a police radio for additional units. Quote, shots in the building. I need some in the South Tower with me. Sorry, South Lot with me. Dispatch reports several shots again being fired at Columbine High School. So it's really ramping up.
Yeah.
Teachers call 911 from inside the library, report smoke now coming through the doorway. She yelled at students to get on the floor and hide under the tables. County deputies Scott Toboski and Paul Smoker arrive on the west side of the school and begin to rescue two wounded students laying left on the ground near the ball fields. So Smoker sees Gardner down to his right holding his pistol.
Yeah.
Gardner yells to Smoker as the gunman is saying, like, he's carrying an automatic rifle, like, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And he appears all of a sudden through the doors. Harris is now leaning out of a broken window. And starts shooting at Smoker and Gardner. Now, Smoker continues to hear gunfire from inside the building. So, like, he comes out, shoots a bit, disappears.
Yeah.
But he continues shooting inside. Student witnesses who enter the north main hallway from the adjoining classroom see Klebold and Harris standing just inside the school northwest entry doors. Both suspects, they later recalled, are armed with guns. Witnesses see Klebold fire a semi-automatic western weapon east towards a student in the main hallway and south toward the library. So they're just shooting fucking everywhere. Like, they know where the people are. There's people in the cafeteria, there's people in the library, and they're shooting in those directions. But they also hear bullets hitting lockers, other objects, smashing doors, just smashing glass. They're just going crazy.
Yeah.
A student in the gym hallway observes Klebold and Harris walking east down the north hallway. Both are firing weapons and both were laughing.
What? Both were laughing?
Can you just imagine?
That is, like, evil.
Student Stephanie Munson and another student walk out of the classroom into the north main hallway. As they enter the hallway, they see a teacher and several students running behind them. The teacher yells to them to run and get out the building. They both run through the main hallway leading to the school's main entrance on the east side. Stephanie is then shot in the ankle, which goes through.
Oh, see.
Doesn't that go through yet? Because you're not going to die off that, but, like, pain, ow. And they're able to escape the building and continue.
How are you going to run after that?
To safety. Well, hopefully someone's fucking carrying her. But they run across the street to a park, which is, like, right over the road. A student in the counselling hallway sees students in the north hallway running east through the lobby. Pardon me. Klebold is running behind them but comes to an abrupt halt near a bank of phones at the entrance by the main lobby area. Yet another student on the telephone with her mum glances up in time to see the sleeve of a black trench coat shooting a Tech 9 towards the main entrance of the school. She drops the phone and hides. So he's running past, sees the phones, and he's checking to see who's on them, and she sees one girl on them. She then runs to hide.
Yeah.
She hides till she can no longer hear any activity. The gunman, she then assumes, has turned and gone the other way. She then runs back to the phone and, like, confirms the story. Klebold is then last seen running down the hallway in the direction of the library. Now, this is where everyone's run to.
Yeah.
Teacher Dave Sanders, still on the second level, turns to the library hallway to the sounds of gunfire. As Sanders passes the entrance to the library, he apparently sees a gunman coming towards him. Sanders turns around and heads back the way he'd just come. Just before turning the corner, he got shot. Sanders is able to crawl to the science hallway, where teacher Richard Logg helps him down the hallway into another classroom, and a group of students help him and administer first aid and attend to his injuries.
Hmm.
So he's ran out, seeing them, shit himself, turned but got shot. Because I know that I'm saying it. Obviously, it's typed out. I know I keep explaining myself, but is it making sense?
Oh, yeah, it's all making sense, yeah.
So, Deputy Gardner, remember him, the first guy?
Yeah, yeah.
He was in the South parking lot. He's exchanged gunfire with Harris.
Yeah.
He then dispatches again, code 33, which means an officer needs emergency assistance. So it's
like Getty, yeah.
Yeah. Deputy Magor, or Maga, sets up a roadblock and he's immediately approached by teachers as well as students who were like, oh my God, there's someone in the school with a gun.
They're like running out.
Yeah, so this is other students who like are already out.
Getting out,
they're
seeing
a police officer and going, oh my God. And he's like, listen, I know, I'm putting a roadblock in. Like,
listen, I know.
We're on it.
Yeah.
Dispatch then announced that possible hand grenades had been detonated in the school.
What the fuck, hand grenade? So is the bomb, none of the bombs going off?
Well, like I said, they're not big. Some of them are like, they're explosions of the smoke getting seen from the school.
Yeah.
So things are going on.
But they're not like,
but thankfully there's not what the big £20 napalm fucking bombs he set, or propane, sorry.
They didn't go.
They haven't gone off. Now, Harris and Klebold walk down the library hallway, randomly shooting, but not injuring anyone.
Yeah.
From the tape, which is the surveillance tape, the investigation shows that Harris and Klebold spend almost 3 minutes in the library hallway, randomly shooting their weapons and lighting and throwing pipe bombs. They throw two pipe bombs into the hallway and more over the stairs into the lower level.
Mm.
A pipe bomb is thrown into the stairwell of the library hallway and lands in the cafeteria below. Now, where am I up to? Sorry. A large flash is then observed on the cafeteria videotape. A second pipe bomb is also thrown into the cafeteria from the upper level. So I think here they're just trying to make that big bomb go off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it means they're like, fucking, it's all in the cafeteria. Because the plans failed in that sense, because they wanted everyone in there and it to go off.
Yeah.
But it kicked off too soon and everyone's escaped that place and they're hiding.
Yeah, so he's probably fuming.
Yeah, well, they will be, but who's asked?
I think he's after trying to lock yourself in somewhere and put everything into the door.
You say that, but then all they're going to do is shoot a lock and you're in. Because honestly, I just think, yeah, it is hard getting a small space, hard, be quiet, but I can't even imagine what these students...
Like the fear.
The fear.
Oh, I think playing dead is my best bet.
I know, I think I'd have to. But your first instinct is to run there.
Of course,
You're not going to go, oh, I'm just collapsing the floor. You know what I mean? It takes you a minute to figure out.
Of course, yeah.
Now, remember Patty Nielsen, the teacher? She's hiding under the front counter in the library entrance. She continues her phone contact with Jefferson County dispatcher, and Nielsen reacts. She's like, being quiet, but is reacting every time to the sound of gunshot and explosion come from the hallway, which is getting closer. Now, she screams at the students in the library to get under the tables and to stay hidden, which would, imagine being a teacher and you've got that level of care to, like, duty of care. Then the kids are screaming, you're going to be like, shut the fuck up, like, get under the table and shut up, but then you can't blame them. Honestly, I can't. It gives me such a horrible feeling in my stomach. Now, numerous students running from the school seek safety behind Taborski's patrol car, who's another guy that I mentioned before, who turned up. The students tell the deputies that the gunmen are inside the school, randomly shooting at people with Uzis or shotguns and throwing hand grenades. They describe the...
Mad bastards.
But you know what's even worse? The recollection of these students will be so different to what actually happened as well. So they're going, they've got Uzis, they've got hand grenades, like... I think they've got shotguns, or they might have rifles, or they might have machine guns.
Because
like,
it will have just thought that I'm so
quick. So you can
quick
imagine these police trying to think, what the fuck's going on?
In there.
We need to get this under control, but what's even happening?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no. What do you even do?
I know. They were described to the officers as being high school age, wearing black trench coats and a hat on backwards. The second gunman is described as taller, a little older, but he's also wearing a black trench coat. Harris and Klebold walk into the school library and the 911 call that Patty's on picks up his voice going, get up.
Yeah.
Not to her, but picks it up.
Yeah.
Harris shoots down the length of the front counter. One student, crouched behind a paper copier, is injured by flying wood and splinters from the counter. The gunmen then walk through the library towards the west windows, killing one student on the way before they shoot out the windows towards law enforcement and fleeing students. Law enforcement return fire.
Yeah, the police need to get in there.
I know, but like SWAT obviously come and they'll be getting prepared. But SWAT need to be briefed.
Yeah, on what to go in. Yeah,
what are they looking for? The two students. They could take their coats off and go, oh my god, I'm scared, and pretend.
True.
And
yeah,
there's
some men
after us. It's honestly a movie. The gunmen then turn their attention to the students inside the library again. They kill four and injure four more in the west area of the library before moving back toward the library entrance to the east. Harris and Klebold shoot the display cabinet more, and injuring five and killing three. Because they're all hiding behind cabinets, so they're just shooting along the cabinets.
Oh.
But they've killed like eight people so far, just in the library.
Yeah.
Harris and Klebold leave the library's east area and enter the centre section, reloading their weapons at this point. Now,
I was
going
to say, they must have loads of ammo.
Yeah, they've got a backpack and a big duffel bag.
Oh, yeah.
Two more students are then killed and two more injured in the library's centre section before the gunmen leave the library. In 7.5 minutes, 10 people are killed and 12 are wounded. There were a total of 56 people in the library, 34 escape. Injury. 7.5 minutes. Like, they're just bang, 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 bang. Reload. Bang, bang, bang. 10 people dead in 7.5 minutes.
That's
less than
mad.
A minute per person.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Course.
Two library employees remain hidden in the television studio. One teacher hides in another room nearby, and Patty Nielsen, originally who was in the counter, drops the phone. She like crawls to the library's break room and hides in the cupboard. So there's four women now, all remain in the library till they were evacuated by SWAT at around 3:30 PM. This is at 11:30.
Oh no! Are you joking?
It takes hours. They can't move. They don't know they're dead. Like, they don't know what's happened. Do you know what I mean? They four women. Can you imagine the fear?
They have to just wait there.
The like, honestly, the documentaries, you can see interviews of like survivors and stuff, and it's just,
that is how long
it
must
have been. Horrific. I know. Now, Jefferson County Patrol Deputy Rick Searle, on the upper grassy area of the southwest side of the school, is evacuating students who have taken cover behind patrol cars. So they're now figuring out a way where, like, if we park cars here, they can, like, you know, jimmy themselves past without, like, having access from windows.
Yeah.
So they're figuring out, like, way to get people out. There's three separate trips, and they're getting students out each time. A medical triage is then being established there. So a triage is, like, in and out. Who's injured, right? Are you minor? Are they major?
Yeah.
And they're just quickly... Obviously, there's going to be most people in shock. Shock is equally as dangerous as... Could be a gunshot wound, do you know what I mean? So they're setting up a triage. Now, Deputy Kevin Walker, positioned in the south point in the parking lot, is able to watch the lower level main south doors of the school and the entrance of the cafeteria. Just spat. He can provide rescue and cover for the students fleeing. So this is just more information about the police and how they helped. There's still reports of shots firing from the library. Now, the county's dispatch centre goes into an emergency command system as the incoming reports begin to provide glimpses into the incident's magnitude. So, like, as I've said, this is snippets of information that has been put together.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually don't know what's going on at all, other than kids screaming and trying to get out.
Mm.
There's dead bodies and there's people injured. Like, that's it. They're getting reports. Oh, there's people with guns, there's people with, like, bombs.
Coats on,
you know.
Yeah.
That deputy then reports smoke coming from the building. 911 tape from the library records the sound of many gunshots being fired during this minute, which is 11:31, and one of the gunmen library yells, Yahoo! The first fire alarm then is sounding, and the last victim is then killed at Columbine High School. Suspects move to the front counter of the library, back to the beginning.
Yeah.
From the library, Harris and Klebold go into the hallway and make their way to the science area. Now, witnesses describe as the two look through the windows of the classrooms, make eye contact with all the students hiding in there and then just move on.
What?
They're not attempting to break in the rooms, they're looking in. Like, imagine being hiding. You know, they've got, like, those little glass squares in the doors, like, rectangle. Imagine seeing them come there, make eye contact with you, but then move on.
Like, we'll come back for you.
So you can only imagine.
Obviously. Oh, my God.
A teacher sees Klebold and Harris in the science hallway, and she stops, obviously, where she's like, and they stop just by where she's hiding. Now, several students witness the suspect shooting into empty rooms. Now, Klebold and Harris also tape an explosive device on the storage room next to the area where the teacher, Dave Sanders, remember who got shot before,
yeah.
And several students are hiding. Witnesses say the gunmen do not appear to be overly intent on gaining access to any of the rooms now.
Why do you think?
The gunmen could have easily shot the locks on the doors, made way through windows.
And obviously they don't.
Yeah, their behaviour now seems like directionless. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've got no... Whereas before, they had a very, very clear plan.
Right.
Of what they wanted. Bomb's going to go off. They're going to run out. We're going
to... But you think, because the aim is to kill as many people as possible, why they didn't go through that door and got all them hiding under the thing?
You don't know what they're thinking. And like I say, we'll never know what they're thinking. Were they starting to realise, had the adrenaline worn off? Were they like, what the fuck are we doing? Was it not as good as they thought? We don't know. Were they scared? Were they running low on bullets?
Why did they do it?
Honestly, it's absolutely...
My brain has got, like... It must have said in the diary. I mean, I'm sure you're going to tell us at
the end. Well, the only thing is, there is no, like, they just...
Like, the plan of why they wanted to do it was for what reason?
They just called their judgment day. That's just what they wanted to do.
Sometimes, you know, these kids are like, they think the video game is real, don't they, and stuff?
But that thing is that, like, if this is so similar to last week, it doesn't make you fucking...
No.
It can make you more creative, yeah. So if this... This Eric Harris is, like, the more ringleader. From looking back as well, like, from the...
Definitely.
Like, the journals and stuff they kept, they think that Klebold kind of flapped it at the last minute and Eric was like, we've got to do it now. We're already in the motion.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to just carry on doing what we're doing. But yeah.
Weird.
Now, get on this. So, this isn't... It's not funny, but it's... This is nothing about this is funny, but Deputy Searle, he was the other guy, it was reports of smoke...
Yeah.
Also reports a man on the roof wearing a red, white and blue striped shirt, initially thought to be a possible shooter. This man is then later identified to be an employee of a heating and air conditioning company who was just out on a service call that day to fix a leak above the girls' locker room.
The repairman.
The repairman's on the roof when he first heard the shots and he realises something wrong's. He uses a pair of vice grips to clamp the roof door, access hatch closed, that no one can go on the roof. So he's just chilling, like, what the fuck's going on? Hears all this gunshots, hears screaming, smoke, and he's just chilling the roof, closes the access to the roof, which is quite clever because...
No one can get there, thank God for that.
But I just thought that was a little sort of interesting, because like, oh my God, there's a guy on the roof, and he's like, I'm only booked here to fix a leaky pipe.
Like, get me off, I don't know.
Hey,
he had a touch getting on the roof, doing that.
I know. Several more pipe bombs are thrown into the cafeteria from the library hallway. Another explosion can be seen at this time from the cafeteria videotape. So these are starting to go off now.
Mm.
Like I say, they're not the big £20 ones, but they're going off, the big bombs. That was what I've already said. Another pipe bomb is thrown into the over the railing of the hallway above. This does explode. It's quite a big explosion. It can be heard on the 911 call made from inside the library.
You're just looking at me going, whoa.
Let me have a drink, Jesus.
What the fuck? This is crazy.
No.
I'm imagining St. Julie's, even though obviously I know you're saying it's a big school.
St. Julie's, imagine. I would have gone, remember that where the music, was it the music bit?
The drama hall was.
But you know that bit where there's a little cupboard and it had this spiral staircase going down to like the tunnels that connected to the big house next door?
In the back, behind? Yeah, I would have gone there as well.
Well, I went like halfway down those stairs. That was like I got dared to do it and I did it and then everyone, it was terrifying. Anyway.
Yeah, I'd go there.
Right, so then another explosion happens and it blows out all the windows of the cafeteria, so it's intensifying now. The explosion from another pipe bomb. As the pipe bomb exploded, several students run out the south cafeteria doors towards Walker, who's the deputy.
Yeah.
He directs them to take cover behind several cars, covering them with his own gun, while they position themselves away from the line of fire, because now they're shooting at the students trying to escape.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is, he radios to dispatch that, like, he's got students with them, but he's, like, under fire. You just need to, like, distract them.
It only takes, doesn't it, really, to get them from behind or something.
What do you mean? Yeah, like if they're shooting, that one can just go bang.
Yeah.
But they need distraction, like, so he can't keep firing back at them. He's got to get these kids to safety. I need more help.
Yeah.
Deputies report 30 students have finally exited from the school on the west side. Many of the students are taking cover behind patrol cars and were able to escape. And they were in the library. So they were able to escape the library after Klebold and Harris left to go to the science area. Tobosky protected students who have fled to the west side of the school, reports that one of the shooters might be a Ned Harris. And that he's possibly wearing bulletproof armour. Witnesses were probably saying Reb, which was apparently Harris's nickname. Because his name's Eric Harris. So, and they're going, Ned Harris, but they might have been saying Reb Harris, which was his nickname.
Got ya.
Dispatch, so that's another, again, the build this information.
Yeah.
Dispatch advises that the suspects are possibly wearing body armour. Because then again, that changed how SWAT deal with it. Headshots. Deputy Walker reports of more explosions inside the school. The explosions seem to be moving east, which means the boys are possibly moving east because they're throwing them as they go. In response to the reports that one of the suspects may have left the building, several deputies on scene radio their positions around the school, confirming that a perimeter has been established and that all exits are covered so that they can't leave.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Klebold and Harris have left the science area again to go down to the cafeteria. The cafeteria videotape records Harris kneeling down, resting his rifle on the stair railing and firing several shots at one of the big bombs in the duffel bag.
Yeah.
Photos of the cafeteria show the duffel bags and the backpacks scattered throughout the area, yet Harris seems to know exactly where they are, because obviously there's 400 backpackers, all students are all sat in there. He's like that, bam, bam, bam. He shoots at it, but
still
it doesn't go off.
Okay.
Not very good. They're not very good. Videotape also shows Klebold walking directly over to the same bomb after Harris's failed attempts to detonate it. Klebold seems to be tampering with something on the floor. The suspects both take a moment to drink water that were left behind by students on the lunch tables. A witness hiding in the cafeteria hears one of the gunmen say, quote, today's the day the world's coming to an end. Today's the day we die. Harris and Klebold are in the cafeteria for about 2.5 more minutes and 4 students run out of the cafeteria through a side door. One student can be seen on the cafeteria videotape crawling out of the cafeteria side door, and now this is when the media get hold of the story. So the police are all on it, still trying to figure it out. The media have now got hold.
Yeah.
During the late morning news programme, Denver's KMGH TV Channel 7 announces that Jefferson County has confirmed gunshots fired at Columbine High School. Klebold and Harris's movements continue to be extremely random. The cafeteria videotape shows the gunmen coming back and up and down the stairs into the cafeteria and whilst they're holding their Tech 9 guns. So there's, you know what I was saying, like, it's directionless, they've got no, like, real goal. Now they're just trying to make that explode, they're going back, they're coming by the library, back to the cafeteria, they're just wandering around but still shooting, like, aimlessly. Yeah. The television then confirms reports of 2 gunmen at Columbine High School. Now it's 12 noon now, so it's been 50 minutes. Klebold and Harris leave the cafeteria and go back upstairs to the library. Uninterrupted media coverage about the shooting in progress at Columbine High School begins on local television, which is obviously ramping up all the local community, the teachers, families, the students' families, mum and dads are all starting to hear about
the
this
mum
now.
And dads must be like,
they must have been
shit,
like, what the actual fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Now, a television reporter interviews a mother of a student who's told her about the gunmen. She's out safe. And she explains that they're dressed in black, the station also reports that according to information gained from the police scanners, the school's being evacuated. So they're kind of a bit behind, obviously, because they do actually know what's going on. They're like, oh my God, there's shooters with, like, they got black clothes on, but we're being evacuated. That's all they think's gone on. Little do they know, like, the horror.
Yeah.
The gunfire erupts in the second library window again above the cafeteria as paramedics rescue the wounded students outside.
Yeah.
So they are kind of, the paramedics are running in, they're now shooting at paramedics, which was part of their plan, remember, yeah, the cars.
Yeah, of course.
Deputy Walker sees a muzzle flash, which is part of the end of a gun, from a library window and knows where they are, so starts returning fire. So he fires three shots at the gunmen. Denver police officers also provide, which is called suppression fire, which means, like, Eric and Harris and Klebold are firing at the paramedics, so it's a distraction. They're firing back at them. It's called suppression fire, so that they'll shoot back at the officers and let the paramedics get away. This allows paramedics to retrieve the three wounded teens that they can see at the time on the floor. The fourth student, Dan Rothborough, is determined to be deceased. However, the paramedics rush to save the living and get them, give them medical attention.
Yeah.
After the ambulances leave the scene with the wounded, the gunfire coming from the library stops. No gunshots attributed to the gunmen are heard again. Gardner turns attention to a group of 15 students huddled behind a vehicle in the parking lot. One at a time, he evacuates students down the line of cars that they built through the protection, like the line of cars that all the officers had made.
Yeah.
So they're going that way. Other students then began to escape. Some out the side doors, the cafeteria, and other equities is now coming on board to help evacuate more and more students.
And there's just no noise.
There's no noise now. It's silent.
Oh, God.
So television news helicopters now began broadcasting aerial images of Columbine High School. You can see all of this. You can see, like, kids hiding and running. It's dead, dead sad. And it's just horrible because it looks like a film. It doesn't look real. And
yeah.
It really was.
I'm going to watch this in a minute.
Yeah, honestly, when I go, watch it. Now, where was it up to? Sorry. Jefferson County Crime Lab is en route as well with all of, you know, you can imagine forensics. They're all getting suited and booted.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, the last gunshot was fired from the library window at law enforcement paramedics. So, like, shortly after that, the last gunshot was fired. Harris and Klebold then killed themselves with a shot each to the head in the library, and it was all over.
What? Oh, my God. I can't get over that.
I feel like I've spoke so quick. I've got through that so quickly that, like, it just ended too abruptly. I apologise.
What? That?
And that is it.
Oh,
obviously,
my God.
It wasn't just that.
When
there
you
was
were...
then another 3.5 hours till people were then actually,
oh, of course,
taken
get evacuated.
They got the SWAT team in. They had to do all it. They had to start interviewing students, get this real story together of what's actually happened in the past hour.
Honestly, my mind flew. When you were reading that, I was watching it in my head like an action movie. But I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, because I was proper and my, like, playing it in my head.
But their suicide picture, like the picture of them both dead, is like on the Google.
Like, what, I'm gonna just post of
it.
Them?
Like, if you type in Columbine Massacre, they released the picture of them both dead because it was just that, because it was such a tragedy that had happened. They were like, yeah, we released, you know, there were some crimes you'll never see one picture, then some crimes you'll see pictures that you can find, like crimes pictures. That was something that they released.
I wonder what, like, the mum and dad of them two says.
They've been interviewed, I believe, one of, or two of them have written books.
Oh, is it? And they said,
like, Dharma, like his dad.
Oh, friggin' Lionel.
So they've written books. I mean, it's not, you know, you can't blame.
No, of course, but I wonder what
they... This would have been in their lives forever, you know.
Imagine, like, your kid did that, like,
no,
I would fucking know. But, like we said, obviously we don't know why they did it, but I wonder, I don't know, what was the...
I just wish that they were, not that I wish that they were alive, but just so that we could get justice and, like,
interview them.
Why? And then get justice for the families. I don't know if they had the death penalty in Colorado at the time or whatever the fuck it was.
It's just, you know, this kid was obsessed with making bombs and war and all that, but why did he just want to do this?
He's fucked up. But that is a story of fucking...
Oh my God.
And I did it, girl, in 1 hour, 13 minutes.
That is sick.
But and I feel like we were quiet again. So I'm hoping this sounds good again.
Well,
I think... You can see the way, like, now I'm talking properly, the lines go bigger. Anyway, that's for me to
I think out. We sound loud though, do you?
Yeah, we're screaming. The ladies in bed.
I know, all the news.
That's why you fucking don't
talk to strangers. See, even the words sound scary. Columbine High School Massacre. Yeah.
But yeah, 12 dead. Well, 12 students, one teacher. Many injuries.
Mad how it was only turned out to be one teacher. And actually, you'd think it was loads more that died.
In a way, it's kind of not good that there was only that.
Because they were like... But, I mean...
But it would have been. It would have been over 400 if that bomb went off.
Fuck.
That's what they said. That'll be the bit that... It was 11:17 or 11:16 a.m. will be the exact time that that's the busiest.
Yeah.
And we'll have 400 or 500 students in this room at one time. And everyone will be obliterated. That was their plan. Then the remaining
Wait, I've got a question.
Go on.
Big question.
I hope I know the answer.
So what happened to what's-his-name who ran to the fucking...
Well, he alerted the police. He started this chain reaction of getting bits of information.
Oh, my God.
He's been interviewed. I think he wrote a book, Brooks Brown.
Yeah.
Brooks Brown. I believe he wrote a book, but he's done interviews and stuff like that as well. But yeah, honestly.
I mean, horrific. Yeah, it is mad because there's quite a lot of them in America, them big shootings in the schools. Mm. It's mad, isn't it?
It's awful. But yeah, and hope he's liked it, guys.
Them people who went to that school who were there, who survived, the survivors, yeah, like you said, they must be traumatised.
I know that they were all given therapy, you know, counselling.
Yeah.
I know that, like, the school took years to, like, obviously... Well, they'll never get over it.
No.
But I'm sure they have, like, not scholarships, but they've got, like, you know, memorials and stuff like that, obviously, from the day. But, honestly, yeah, watch the YouTube. There's loads and loads of stuff about it on YouTube. That the YouTube one's a bit more heavy because there's ones that, like, reenact it and stuff, and they're like, because you're watching it. That Bowling for Columbine's heavy, but it's more, like, factual, like... How fucked up the US is and their gun laws, which are absolutely barbaric.
But what one's better?
You need to watch them both. Watch Bowling for Columbine first. Maybe. Yeah, watch that first.
I want to watch more about that though than the YouTube.
Yeah, start with the YouTube then. The Bowling for Columbine is sick. But the gun laws are ridiculous. Like, you can be 18 years of age and buy a semi automatic Tech 9 rifle, whatever the fuck it's called. But you can't have a bevy.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Bizarre. Really bizarre. But I hope you liked it, guys. I know it's a bit longer than normal, but actually, I don't even think it is. Did I talk really fast? Do people understand it?
Think we talk fast anyway.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that, guys.
Really enjoyed that, because, yeah, I didn't. And it was proper. We say this all the time, but it was different.
Yeah.
Because we haven't done a big massacre like that.
No. And the thing is, like I say, this could have easily been two parts. Like,
yeah,
I flew through that, give you a chain of events, but I could have spent the whole episode just talking about them too. Then the episode.
I liked how you sorry, I'm yawning again. I liked how you told it, like, from this
step.
Yeah, I liked that. It's very, very good listen, babes.
Thanks. Well, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Don't Talk to Strangers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at DTTS Poddy. You can email us at
Does anyone email us?
Yeah, randoms. Sorry, I love it now. Don't talk to strangers pod@gmail.com. We have a Patreon. Please sign up and help us so we can improve our sound quality and just keep living and bringing you good content. Pardon, can't get the words out. That is Don't Talk to Strangers, as you can podcast. If you're on Patreon, you'll find it. We've got a link tree on our bio with all of our links.
We have.
Leave us an iTunes review, because that really, really does help us. We only got like 25, and I know that there's probably 25,000 listeners of you, so you just need to all leave a review. And that's it, and I hope you enjoyed that.
Thank you. See you next week.
Bye.
Ciao.